You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Man, good to see you all. Thank you so much for being here. And man, it's just good to come in. And I can't wait to see you guys every week. That's the honest to goodness truth. And so thank you for being here. And today we want to piggyback and follow up from where we left off last week, Easter Sunday. We talked about defining moments, right? And it was last week before Easter Sunday, that week, I just felt, there was somebody who came to my mind, and it was Randy. And I thought, you know what? Randy has some significant defining moments in his life that it really tailored to the message that we talked about and the message that we're going to talk about today. And so I'm really excited to have Randy and Brian to come up, and they're going to share. And Brian's going to walk you through a little bit of an interview, and then I have a short message after that. Is that all right? Give Randy and Brian a big hand, would you?
Good morning, Randy.
Good morning.
Well, Randy, you know, I earlier this week, previously I had been hearing bits and pieces of your testimony, but when we were on the phone earlier this week, it was the first time I got to hear your story, and man, I was moved. And I would just ask, could you share a little bit about where were you, early on in your life and the journey that you traveled there?
Well, I was born at a young age. I'm glad some of you guys got that. I grew up in a really good, strong family household, good family values. My mom and dad just celebrated, it's either 52 or 53 years of marriage at the beginning of this month. And, I always had them there in my corner, had a lot of support growing up from them. We grew up in a rich community, poor family. There was a lot of abuse that I went through in my life, growing up, a lot of sexual abuse, a lot of mental abuse, a lot of physical abuse. While I was at school, I was a victim of very severe bullying. And, I was pretty confused on how to handle that growing up. Dad was like, whip him. And my dad and my mom was like, kill him with love. So I decided not to stir the pot and just kind of laid back and endured it. Fast forwarding a little bit, I began to play football in high school and got in with a few guys that were part of this fellowship, which is called Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And, those guys were quite a bit older than me, and I started going to church and hanging out with these guys and had my first friends in my life, as time went on, we continued to do things for the church. We went to mission trips. I've preached to homeless people on the streets of New York City and Boston, Massachusetts, whenever I was in high school, and then they graduated. And then I kind of felt, okay, it's me by myself again. And I gravitated towards another group of folks who took me. I made the choice, but I went down a dark path. They were doing drugs, and I began to experiment with a little bit of weed at first, and then it really quickly escalated into heroin and cocaine, ecstasy, acid, whatever you got. I was doing it. So that's kind of where I was at that point in time in my life.
So with you, it sounds like you took a pretty low trip there.
Yeah.
And when you were at that low spot, God is always with us, but what kind of brought you to a spot where you began hearing and experiencing his voice?
Well, it's all hindsight, because I really never realized it until much, much later. But, in my addiction, there was all kinds of stuff that I seen. I've seen people killed in front of me. People have overdosed, and we continued to use while they were in the bathtub dead for days at a time. And just a lot of deep, dark places that I'd went to. And you know, God was always there. Even though I denounced God verbally many times, God was always there. I could just never see it. And one of those moments was, you know, there was really a string of things that happened that really led to life change for me. Was I was working for my mom and dad's business. I was stealing a lot of money from it because it was a cash daily basis type of business, and they actually had to file bankruptcy because of how much money I stole from them. So I got fired from that. They kicked me out of their house, so I was living from couch to couch, sleeping on people's couches, sleeping on people's porches, sleeping out under the bridges and stuff. And there was one time that I can vividly remember where I was laying down to go to sleep one night, and I couldn't even cover up my head with a blanket because I smelled so bad because I hadn't showered in so long. And over the course of that time, real quick, I got like 17 felony charges over the course of like 6 to 8 months. And, I just had enough at that point in time in my life, and I took a gun, put it in my mouth, pulled the trigger, it didn't go off. So the next morning I went to crisis care, told them what happened, and they said, let's go to treatment. So I went to my 15th inpatient treatment center. My plan was to stay on methadone for the rest of my life, you know, but God had other plans for me. God put a teacher there in front of me. And at that point in time, I just decided to kind of surrender and say, okay, I'm going to do what you guys tell me to do. I don't believe it's going to work. I'm special. I'm unique. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'll give it a try, you know.
So in that spot then, what did God do? Like, how did he change your life?
So God's done a few different things too. You know, in my recovery, you know, God has prepared me for a lot of different things that I didn't even know that he was preparing me for. A couple examples. On December 5th of 2015, my wife and I were laying in bed sleeping, and I got a phone call about 4:30 in the morning that my daughter's mother had been in a car accident and died. And overnight, we was full-time parents. You know, we was getting her every other weekend, maybe a little bit more at that point in time. And, you know, if it hadn't have been for, you know, everything that I had went through up to that point, mm-hmm. I would have never been able to be that stability in my daughter's life or in my wife's life or in her son's life, when you know, my son. So that's one example. Another example, God has a sense of humor. I got really involved with Celebrate Recovery, and I was part of the leadership team there. And they started talking about baptism and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, I don't believe in all that, you know. And the leader of the Celebrate Recovery team, he says, you know, have you ever read the Bible front to back? I said, no. And he's like, well, then you're speaking out of ignorance. And what I heard is you're ignorant. And I'm like, okay, I'll show you, because that's how I am. I'll read the Bible. And I read the Bible from front to back in just short of 1 year. So, and I was looking at my little wonderful YouVerse app this morning, and the verse of the day just hit me on the head here. It's John 16:33, says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And, that really stuck out to me whenever I saw that this morning. So, you know, I started to grow closer to God, which is the first time that I had ever really done that in my life, because whenever I was younger, it was all about the fellowship. Now it's my personal relationship with God. And then, another example is Pastor Chris here. He and I have built a good relationship. I came to Ryan early on. And I came to Ryan, I said, hey, this Pastor Chris guy, he's up there crying. He's a really emotional guy. And, you know, it makes me uncomfortable. And Ryan's like, yeah, I've heard. I'll say something to him about it. And I was like, no, stop right there. I said, I don't want him to change that. I said, I want that. That's why I become so emotional or so uncomfortable with it, right? Is because I want that relationship with Jesus. And it's just really, you know, really easy to see how much love that Pastor Chris has for his relationship with Jesus. And that's when he and I started meeting. And I told Chris that, you know, to his face. And he's like, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that, but you're the first one that's ever told me. So so we began meeting and doing this TPM prayer, which, man, it's absolutely life-changing. There's this one memory that I had that I used to really always hold on to. And it was this moment whenever I was like in third or fourth grade where this kid was bullying me. And for some reason, it just really controlled a lot of my behaviors. And Chris and I went into this prayer and, you know, identified how I felt in the moment, how I felt whenever I was in the moment in the past, and what truth Jesus wanted me to know about it. And until you and I had talked about it, I hadn't thought about that memory in a long time. So, you know, that TPM prayer has helped me out with a whole lot of self-esteem issues that I've had. So that was pretty amazing. That's another example of how God works in my life.
So share how God has kind of used your past and what you've been through and kind of redeemed those parts of your life to influence others now.
So it's really awesome. You know, Dayton right now is in like kind of a national spotlight because of all the opiate overdoses that's going on right now. And I had an opportunity to begin working for public health Dayton and Montgomery County, and which is, by the way, a convicted felon who's a government employee. That's pretty cool. You know, but I get to go out and see people who are overdosing. You know, I get hospital reports, police reports. You know, all these folks just give us these overdose reports, and I get to go out to these people's homes, and I get to try to, like, engage them in a relationship, you know, and try to get them into treatment, or if they, you know, or get a Medicaid if they want, or if they don't want help, which is the case a lot of times, then the family who's caught in the chaos of the addiction, because many times they're much worse off than the people who are using, because the people who are using are numb, but they're not, right? So we get to go in and talk to the family members, provide them with Narcan, try to get them the services, counseling if that's what they want, you know, and refer them out. And that's kind of like why Dayton's in the national spotlight, you know, because we got all these new outreach programs that's going on across the city. And, you know, they're putting people like me, who was bottom of the barrel living up underneath of a bridge, couldn't even stand to smell his own self, to being a government employee, getting out to go help people where they are, being a husband, a father with a house, you know what I mean? It's just a beautiful thing, you know, and it's all because of God.
Awesome. Can I pray with you for just a quick moment?
Yes.
All right. Well, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your endless love. Father, you can take any dark moment of our pasts and redeem it. And Father, you send people along the way to impact us. And Father, I celebrate that Randy here had the courage to begin having open ears to your guidance, to begin acknowledging the people that you placed in his path, to be able to lead him to a point of life change. And Father, I pray that moving forward, that you continue to work in his life. May he just continue to grow and mature and be honed by your perfect love. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give him a big hand, would you? That is... It is It is good to hear stories, is it not? Stories of defining moments. And I'm telling you, there are all kinds here at the Shelter Community Church. And I think it's good to share those, good to hear those. So let's do this. Take about 2 minutes, stand up, slap, high five with at least two or three people, and just invite them to have a defining moment. All right? Let's go. All right, good deal. Maggie, good to see you.
Hey. Have a defining moment.
Hey, man, I hear that, brother. Love you. All right, good. Hey, thank you so much. We could go on forever, man, around here, man. That's what the Shelter community is all about. Isn't that right? That's what it's all about. Good. I just believe that if we all stop for a second and look back, right, we can begin to remember those defining moments. And by the way, I'm looking back and having a defining moment right now. Chris, would you stand up? Oh, my God. Give Chris a big hand. Man, oh, man. I just want to commend you, Chris. I mean, seriously, you look so nice today. Doesn't Chris look nice? And Chris, I heard a report before Chris came in today, and the truth is that Chris and I have really been thinking and praying about changing the dress code here at Shelter Church. And actually, I'm just decent.
When I first came here, Ryan gave me a rule. There are no ties.
That's all right, man. We love Chris. And the reason he broke the rule is because in about 2 to 3 hours, Ashton's about ready to have a real defining moment, right on? So we're headed up to his wedding, and so you guys will have to be a prayer for Ash and Casey. It's a great day. Great day it is it not? It's a great day. That's right. And next week, folks, I'm telling you, we don't have the quantity of baptisms that we normally have, but it is going to be a truly quality, unbelievable day. And remember, that's 10 o'clock, right? 10 o'clock. Now, what's also cool is that we're going to be able to show the recordings of the three baptisms that go off on Tuesday night Recovery Church, too. Isn't that awesome, guys? Three baptisms Tuesday night. And so along with that, we have Rex is being baptized, guys. I'm whispering that. So Rex is going to be here, and he will be baptized. Pray he shows up. All right, but we're excited about it, and he promised me today he would. So you guys be in prayer with me about that. He has never failed me yet. Rex hasn't, in terms of making a commitment and being here when he said he would. So many of you, I don't know if you know Rex, but man, Rex is someone that struggled with homelessness, and we've been able to see just some incredible growth in Rex as he's now he's got some permanent living and just great things happening, and just exciting to see. But I think it's good to look back and see what God does in our life in terms of defining moments. And sometimes I think we forget that. Randy mentioned that. He forgot about a prayer experience that he had with Pastor Chris and where the Lord took him and what God did through that prayer, right? That word that was spoken, the truth that he received. I believe that if we just take a moment and pause, we can map out on a timeline where God has moved in specific parts of our life where maybe at the time we didn't see it happen, but we look back and we say, that had to be God. And then you going down the timeline, oh my goodness, that happened there on that part of my life and that life story right at that moment, and things changed for me. And then we go on down and we see something happen. We can really pinpoint some times in which God took moments in our life and redefined who we are. Is that not true? I believe that. And I believe in saying that there was an awakening. Something happened. A choice was made. A situation just came together that helped us turn the corner. And I want to give you hope here today in that life change happens. It happens. Life change comes by way of defining moments. And there is nothing more rewarding in ministry than to see people have moments that have redefined who they are. And in saying that this morning, I just believe, and I believe that last week when we shared this message, this Easter message, and with the same kind of theme, same kind of subject matter, but I believe that God wants to bring to you a defining moment. That's what I believe. I know a whole lot of people in need of something to happen in their life, in need of something to happen in their marriage. My kids, my family, my friends, call it breakthrough, call it life change, call it whatever you want. Here's what I found. It's out of my hands and it's beyond my control. Now that's the hard part. That's the hard part. It's out of my hands and it's beyond my control. I mean, sometimes we want it so bad, we insert ourselves and we try to fix it, don't we? Now listen, if you're not nodding your head, you're lying, right? We got a bunch of control freaks in these chairs right now. I'm just telling you, I know that. I know that. And Lee doesn't know what. Lee, God help, Lord, we're going to have an altar call right now. Here's the truth. The truth is that man, look, when we insert ourselves and when we try to fix it, we end up screwing it up more than what it was before. So, you know, last week we preached this or we shared this, call whatever you want. There was a talk, there was a message, there was a sermon, there was whatever you want to call it. But we shared this idea of defining moment and how Easter, right? Because of Easter, right? Because of Resurrection Sunday and that day, the reason we celebrate that day is because Jesus redefined, it was a redefining moment that came so that all of us can have a redefining moment. And then on Monday, I lost my job. I'm being serious. On Monday, it was a mutual kind of thing, but I stepped down from the job that I had, and it was actually the job that, you know, has offered a lot of stability for Beth and I in the last 4 years. It was a defining moment for me. You guys think that I get up here and I hear sometimes you say, Ryan, it feels like you are preaching to me or preaching at me. So it used to be preaching at me. Look, here's the truth. The truth is that I don't think about, this may sound horribly selfish, but I don't think about you when I'm up here, all right? The truth is, please hear me out when I say this. I don't think about that because that's where I get in trouble. That's where I try to fix it, control it. See, used to when I started in this business, I'm like, oh, by golly, Chris needs to hear this message. You know what I mean? And you would, you know, I mean, I'm exaggerating to some extent. Right? But here's the deal. The deal is that when I began to preach to myself, right, what I found is when I write a message that relates to me, okay, the odds are it speaks or relates to other people. So these messages that we pull together, these messages that we share, I can tell you, every person that communicates on this platform does not preach at you. It does not speak to you. It's not intentional. We pray that the Holy Spirit takes what we have and offers it up, right? And it brings help and healing and renewal and revive, whatever you want to call it. But the truth is we don't write these things with you in mind. We think about how God's trying to say to us, right? What God is saying to us purposefully and intentionally. With that said, how many here know someone who needs to come to the Lord? Just raise your hand. I know someone. How many here, you know someone who needs recovery? Man, I do. How many here, you know someone who needs to be healed? Man, I do. God help us. How many here know a family member who needs God to intervene in their life right now? Man, I do. I do. Right? See what I mean? I'm no different than anybody else. Right? That's the truth. So we all know someone in need of a defining moment. All of us do. And here is the feeling that we're challenged with. What we're challenged with is that we see these needs and we try to insert ourselves and we try to fix it, right? When the truth is more than they need the defining moment, I need the defining moment. And let me just pose this question to you, because here's the truth. My spiritual sponsor, he reminds me, right? See, I'm in recovery too, right? And I have a spiritual sponsor, and he is not nice to me sometimes, okay? And he says things to me that I don't want to hear. And here's what he says to me. Ryan, I can't fix that. You can't fix that. He says to me, the only thing that you can work on is your response to that. The only thing that you can work on is your faith, not their faith, not her faith, not your situation at work. What you can work on is what that situation means to you, how it makes you feel, how it triggers you, right? That's what God wants to work with. And he encourages me to leverage the situation that I'm in to gain truth, to gain renewal, to gain to gain what God is trying to say to me and how he wants to change me. See, that's a kind of a different way of looking at things, is it not? I mean, the different way of looking at it is it moves from not trying to fix them, but trying to fix or allow God to fix me. Because that's the truth. The truth is that we're all in need of fixing. We are all in need of fixing. And here's the question for today. So what if before someone else can have a defining moment, we must have a defining moment? Think about that. Here's the truth. If I'm not having defining moments in my life, then how in the world can I help anyone else have a defining moment? Now, I've got 3 minutes to read some scripture here, so let me do that, okay? John 21:21. I'm going to go right at it. John 21:15-23, all right? After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon, Peter. Now, this all relates, guys. This is all relative. Everything I'm talking about, this is after Easter. This is after, they didn't call it Easter back then. We call it Easter now. Call it whatever you want. Resurrection Sunday, right? This is after Jesus arose from the dead. He makes his appearance on 3 different occasions. This is the last of those appearances to the disciples. And he's cooking them breakfast in John chapter 21. And he brings them together, right? And then Jesus begins to really get into Peter. Because Peter was a fixer. I mean, take yourself back to the garden. What did Peter do, right? Right when they took Jesus and were going to put him on the cross, took him before Pilate, all that. Right there, you know, on that Thursday in the Garden of Gethsemane, the soldier showed up. Peter the fixer pulls out his big Braveheart. He had that big Braveheart sword, right? Pulls that out and whacks off that dude's ear. You guys know what I mean? All right, he's a fixer. He was taking care of it. So then Peter goes through this deal where, you know, he gets caught up in his flesh. He gets caught up with a lack of faith, hopelessness, all this. Denies Jesus 3 times. He denies him 3 times. Then Jesus, you know, dies. He comes to life. He comes up out of that grave, makes his appearance, and this is the 3rd appearance. Verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Verse 16, Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. Now, a 3rd time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a 3rd time, and he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Now, let me just stop just for 1 second. Because I don't want to miss this, right? It's you know, when you're doing a devotional or you're preaching a message and you got a bunch of dudes in the room, you know, it's hard for you to relate sometimes. It's hard for some of us to relate this idea of Jesus and Peter and you know, Jesus asking Peter, do you love me? I mean, you know what I mean? We don't like ask each other three times. Chris and I don't ask each other three times. Chris, do you love me? Yeah, Chris, I love you. No, do you really love, you know, that's not just kind of the thing, right? Now, I know a lot of you ladies sitting around, you're like, oh, that's so sweet. You know, but the truth is that that's not, here's what this was really, really about, man. Jesus and Peter were having this tug of war. I mean, it was kind of, Jesus is wrestling with Peter through this, right? I mean, you know, just, there's this talk and discussion and the Lord is trying to get Peter to realize what this means. Here's what it means. It means surrender. Do you love me? Are you willing to surrender your life to me? Do you love me? Are you willing to follow me, man? Or do you love me? Are you willing to give it up, Peter, to follow me, to not take out your sword and to handle things on your own, to try to fix it yourself? Do you love me? The first two times Jesus asked this question, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. So the first two times he does this, this love was about that surrender. It was about that relationship between Jesus and Peter. It was about, the first two times, was about a defining moment that Peter needed to receive. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. The third time was different. That love was different. You had, the first two times was agape love. The third time was that, I'm going to say filio. I'm pronouncing it wrong. But here's what it was about. This is what it was about. The third time, it was about service. It was about other people. You get where I'm coming from here, folks? Before Peter can love and serve other people, before Peter can serve his family, before Peter can help those that he loves that need renewal and recovery, before Peter can extend make a difference in this world for someone else, Peter needed to allow the difference to be made in his own heart and life. Here's what I'm trying to say, folks. Before you can fix your wife, you need to let Jesus fix your life. Before you can fix anyone else, before you can take care of your kid, you need to allow God to speak into you and settle the score. And when you begin to experience that defining moment with you, my gosh, then you can move on to the third one, which is allow God to allow you to experience and make a difference and bring a defining moment into other people's lives. Randy, in his story, mentioned Chris, talked about Chris, right, and his ministry to him. Let me tell you something. Chris has had defining moments. That's the reason he gets emotional up here at times. Makes me uncomfortable sometimes too, Randy. But the truth is that God moves and works through Chris. There is no one that I know that spends more time with God. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way. It's not like I spend more time than you spend. And that's not what I'm talking about. He spends a lot of time with the Lord in prayer because he loves God. And in doing that, Randy is able to experience something and have a redefining moment. Guys, this message today is not necessarily about other people. It's really about you. And it's about you walking out of here understanding that if you do not have a defining moment, if you're not willing to answer those questions with Jesus those first two times, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. No, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Do you love me the third time? You're not going to get to the third time. You're not going to be able to have the ability to minister to other people. Your defining moment hinges. Let me frame it this way and make more sense. What if Chris didn't spend time with God? Would that have impeded Randy's ability to have a defining moment? here's what I really believe. The preachers or the pastors or the people up here standing, it's not about us necessarily trying to bring more engaging messages on Sunday morning that's going to relate to more people. It's not about the band, right, being better, or if they did this, that, and this, and played this way, and, you know, whatever. Folks, here, in terms of growing a church, and in terms of seeing an awakening take place in our community, and the Shelter Church being a part of that, in terms of seeing numbers, hundreds, if not thousands of people coming to the Lord, if you are willing to have a defining moment, I believe that there would be an awakening and a revival and a renewal to come to our church and to our community. If everyone in here was willing to say, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Then I believe that when we take care of that with ourselves, then that love for him then will begin to extend to other people. I hope I'm making sense this morning. God, help me to make sense. Am I making sense? You don't have to shake your head to make me feel good, I promise. I just really, really, really am impassioned about this idea of us finding life change so that other people can have it too. And here's what the enemy does. The enemy uses the situations that we're going through to try to confuse and confound. He tries to use these situations to distract us. If he can get our eyes off of him and onto our situations and move us to this place, it's the enemy working in us to get us to try to fix it. Because when we're trying to fix it and control it, we're not putting our faith where we need to put it. Right on? Man, with that said, if we put that same energy and focus on this conversation with God and our relationship with him, man, it all sifts out, as my dad would say. It all comes together. It all is made right. Have you ever seen the word redemption? God wants to redeem your problems. He is willing to buy you out, folks. Redeem your situation and bring healing to not just you, but to your spouse. Not just you, but to your kids. Not just you, but to your neighbors. Not just you, but whoever. Probably there's people you don't even know. God help us. Let's all stand. Father, we are going way, way long. This is longer than normal. And I thank you for the grace that you've given me, and I thank you for the grace that these people give us every week when we get up here, and how, Lord, we're incredibly fallible, and how we screw up. We say things sometimes that just, you know, maybe don't connect. I pray, God, that the burning fire within me for every one of us to have a defining moment. Lord, I pray, first of all, that it starts with me. And I pray, God, that it would start with them. That you would use us, that you would use our situations to come clean with you. That would use our situations and the hurts and the pain and all of the stuff that we're going through right now. Lord, may you use that to draw us closer to you. And I pray that as we draw out our timeline, if we draw out our life story, we're drawing this out on a sheet of paper. I encourage everybody to draw that out this week. This week, just look, draw your line. Draw your line, take a picture of it and send it to me. Take a picture of it and put it on Facebook, whatever you want to do. I would love to see your life story drawn out. And in doing that, may we remember, man, that was a turning point in my life right there. I can nail that point down where God gave me a defining moment. Life changed for me. And nail that out. What's the situation? I'm writing that out, and I see that. These on a timeline, I'm seeing you move and you work and how you've worked in my life. And maybe look at that and remember and see what you've done. And now, God, I pray that, Lord, today would be a defining moment. Another line, another point on that timeline where we could say, you know what? The week after Easter Sunday, there was this message series, and there was this guy up there speaking, and this guy was talking about a defining moment, and I was going through this, and then boom, there was this opportunity that was given for me to pray and for me to experience something new, and I did that. And it was a point where I turned the corner, and everything after that began to change for me. Changed for my job, changed for my marriage, changed for my recovery, changed for my relationship with my kids. Whatever it is, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that a defining moment would come right now to to my friends and my family that's here. See how they're hurting and all that they're going through and what they're trying to figure out. God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you would do that. So I want to ask you guys this morning, as we close, we're going to close with prayer, and I'm going old school on y'all. If that's you this morning that wants a defining moment, I'm going to ask you, just right now, without hesitation, everybody's heads bowed, eyes are closed, you just walk right up here, because I'm going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to pray for you. And Chris is going to come up here with me in his tie. And we're going to pray for you. If that's you this morning and you need a defining moment, just come up here. Just come up here right now. Just move. Lord, I pray that you would help us to surrender to you this morning. And I pray that if this is what you want of them, of some of us, that you will bring them and move them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Are there any others? Right now, don't hesitate. Just come. Come forward right now. Okay, now I'm going to ask the church to come in behind these that are here and just put your hands on these folks, would you? On their shoulder, just kind of lightly put your hand on them. We're going to all pray together. And you know what? This may be foreign to some of you, and it's okay. It's okay. Let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So just come and gather around these folks and just put your hand on the person in front of you, right? And we're going to go through and we're going to pray together corporately and together, right? And if I miss you, all right, you raise your hand and I'll come and pray, or Chris will come and pray. Chris is going to start on that end. I'm going to start on this end, okay? All right? Lord God, I just pray for this lady. Thank you so much for her. And Lord, for her willingness to come forward. I pray in the name of Jesus that this morning would be a life change for her. A life change. It'll be a defining moment. If that's what you want right now, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you, Lord. Help me. Help me. Thank you, God.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.